Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe with you all here this weekend. Always happy to be here with you all. And allowing me to be here is the Main Street Radio Network. So I want to thank the Main Street Radio Network real quick for allowing this program to continue to exist. And yeah, sometimes, probably in this segment, we say stuff on this program that the Main Street Radio Network disagrees with. But they support our right to say it. They support the First Amendment. So we're happy to have that support behind us. And you can also thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing the show. Main Street Radio Network can be found at mainstreetradionetwork.com. So you can go on there. Lots of cool stuff to check out. You can find podcasts, advertising services, or the Alan Nathan Show. They're up there as well. But he also has his own website, alannathan.com. Sometimes I guest host. Sometimes I guest host for him. Sometimes I don't. Most of the time I don't. Most of the time it's someone else. I'd say 15% of the time it's me. Anyway, so it's all at mainstreetradionetwork.com. We're also on social media as well. Facebook and Wimkin at Main Street Radio Network. X at Main Street Radio. There is no network on that account. It is just Main Street Radio. And, you know, X at Alan Nathan, too, if you just want to keep up with whenever I guest host for him. In case you hear stuff you like in the show or hear stuff you dislike and want to diss me, release your own diss track. Anyway, we are also on Getter, GETTR.com at Silk or Joe Show, which would pretty much be direct engagement with me since I'm the only one who's managing that account the few times that I actually go on there. Anyway, now all that's out of the way, I'll get right to it. Breitbart article here. Justice Department considering pushing to ban transgendered people from owning firearms. This is in response to the uptick in trend among trans folks to be involved in mass shootings. Let's see where the stats here. Oh, yeah. So public, there's this post going around social media, mass shootings 2015 to 2025, public incidents with four or more fatalities as rates per million people out of trans women, that is men transitioning to women in whatever state they're in, whether or not they have taken hormones, whether or not they're just saying it for social clout. That's 0.769 people out of per million. Trans men, that's women doing the same thing, 0.667 per million, so like two-thirds of a person. Then you go down to Asian men, 0.408 per million, black men, 0.198 per million. And then all the way at the bottom are the ones that the left likes to glorify and glamorize as being behind the mass shootings, white men, 0.176 per million. So you're statistically less likely to encounter a white male mass shooter than you are likely to encounter a trans shooter, assuming you are around those communities exclusively. So, but the media doesn't like those statistics because they like to have you think that all white men are evil, white men are terrorists. That's what one former CNN anchor Don Lemon used to say. White men are responsible for the majority of the terrorism in this country. White men are the big threat, blah, blah, blah. So we got to blame the white men. But the thing of it is, when it comes to a trans woman doing the mass shootings like we just saw with the Minneapolis shooting, we're told not to demonize the trans community, which is interesting because, well, the left are the ones who, you know, they tell us not to demonize that group. But if it was a straight white male who did it, oh boy, you would not be hearing they'd still be talking about how evil white men are. So you're not allowed to demonize them unless it's a straight white man, then you can demonize it till the next couple of weeks till some other news cycle drops, something bigger replaces it. There were mass shootings by trans people in Denver, Aberdeen, Nashville, Georgia, Philadelphia, Uvalde, Colorado, Minnesota. And there was another shooting by a trans person, just one off in Maryland. A few trans people shot up an ICE facility in Texas. A few firebombed Tesla dealers. We can't mention any of that, though, because you're an inhuman monster and just hate-mongering if you acknowledge the problem here. Now, the Department of Justice, what they're doing, in my opinion, is if they were to do this, it would be a step too far. Because, I mean, they'd be just as bad as the left, wouldn't they? Preventing the good ones from owning a firearm just because there's a few bad apples out there. I mean, I happen to know one who is a trans person who is just, you know, perfectly fine. I felt safe living with her knowing she had a gun in the house. So, and actually a bigger one than I had. So, I have put my money where my mouth is. I did so for 2 years. But, The Justice Department, though, they're just considering a mass ban because, you know, if it saves just one life, the same mentality that the left has about banning all guns. The thing with it is, though, while yes, there are issues with, you know, what do the hormones do to the mind and all that sort of thing, and, you know, you got to wonder if it's something different going on than just someone who has this medical condition, because actually, by banning them for being trans from owning guns, that sort of legitimizes the idea of transitioning, doesn't it? That make that some kind of medical condition or illness or something, but as opposed to just trying to dismiss it as nothing. However, it also serves to further radicalize the trans community, as if we really need to worry about that at this point. But that's where the problem is. It's not so much that, you know, being trans makes you a psycho, because we had trans people before 2015. They weren't going nuts like this. But after 2015, though, suddenly that's when we really start with the radicalization. We start with telling them it's a civil right to take a three-year-old and chop them up. You know, that's when really this group started getting all this attention, and you start getting people, and you also start getting laxer standards for what qualifies as trans, and just the flood of propaganda into that community. Oh boy, it went crazy, like many other communities, as a matter of fact. I mean, gee whiz, if anything, it shouldn't be a ban on trans people owning firearms. It should be a ban on Democrats owning firearms at this point. Look at how many left-wing shooters we've had as a result of left-wing propaganda. We're going all the way back to 2017, where you had the Bernie Sanders supporter who shot up a bunch of Republican congressmen. There were multiple attempts on Republican lives, not just involving firearms, but elsewhere. There were Trump supporters shot in the street in 2020 by Democrats as Democrats cheered. But we're not talking about banning firearms for Democrats. We probably should, though, at this point, given how radicalized they are. I mean, it was, there was, what was it, 2 years ago? I think it was shortly after the Nashville shooting, with a trans man, that is a woman trying to be a man, shot up a bunch of school kids. There was a Democrat who went in and shot up a bank, I think in Louisville, Kentucky. And the reason he did it is because he wanted gun control. And he thought by being an example, maybe he could motivate someone to pass some anti-gun laws by being the guy who goes by causing another mass shooting. So that's where we're going here. And the trans community just happens to have been swallowed hook, line, and sinker, all the propaganda from the left and the Democrat Party, one of the most solid support groups. That's probably why the Democrats keep feeding them propaganda, to keep from losing them. And certainly the right, though, you know, talking about doing stuff like this, depriving them of gun rights, that's just going to make things worse. Now, there are definitely things that could be done about red flags, such as if you're, you know, out, one of the trans people out there posting support of this mass shooter killing a bunch of kids, maybe there should be something about reviewing your ability to own a firearm, given what you think proper use of it might be. Because these are, posts aren't in jest. These posts are, you know, we're going to do this. This is a thing. We agree with this decision. We would do it ourselves. So on that level, yes, you can get, there is definitely something that could be done, but just a general ban, you know, we're not supposed to be the crowd that's doing these general bans. And besides that, it, whatever justification that might be used for that will be used in the future, of course, by Democrats to ban guns for anyone else. Because remember, Democrats are the ones who think that guns should be banned. And actually, I had this conversation with my trans friend who, yes, the token trans friend. Everyone's got one, right? But, yeah, we had this conversation a while ago about, you know, she actually is in favor of mental health checkups before you buy a firearm. But, you know, my counterpoint to this is the same counterpoint I offer to the Republicans trying to ban trans people from owning guns on the grounds of mental illness concerns. Democrats are the ones who think even wanting to own a gun is a sign of mental illness. They have the psychotherapists out there, too, who are perfectly willing to call you insane if you want to own a firearm. So you're going to give them the authority to deny you a firearm? These people who don't want you to own one in the first place, you're going to go to them and ask them for permission to give you a firearm? Come on, no, of course not. But that's what we're setting up for if we do this kind of thing. So that is why I'm not in favor, as one reason among many, that I'm not in favor of such a general ban as they're discussing. And besides, if anything, there's a lot of blame here for these mass shootings going to the folks involved, local police departments, the parents. Because Minnesota, the Minneapolis one, for example, there were several red flags that were missed. Did you know, for example, that the police were called twice on this particular individual who did the mass shooting? And so the parents knew the person was a risk. There are red flag laws in Minnesota. They could have reported this person and said, hey, yeah, such and such did this on this date and this date, and one of these times the police showed up, it was for a mental health wellness check. So, like, you think that would have shown up somewhere when just a couple of years later they go and buy a gun, but it didn't. Why not? What are they hiding? And then you have the police, the chief of police coming out saying pretty quickly that there was no history of mental illnesses or whatever, just this kind of blanket statement. So, like, even though the police knew better because they had been called to the person's house to deal with the person, and the person had possibly been in therapy as well for a while. And this, like I said, there's a lot of red flags that were missed by the parents in a state with red flag laws. And the parents are Democrats. The father is a deep state intel official. You think one of them would have caught something? Well, they probably did. They just didn't do anything about it. And that's where the failures happen. And that's where a lot of these failures have happened, because someone somewhere in the pipeline didn't properly communicate that there was a threat. Anyway, folks, we got more Al Nathan, more Silker Joe Show, sorry, coming up after this break. So stick with us.
This summer's heat waves brought higher UV indexes across the country, and that's cause for concern. Dr. Raza Bukhari, CEO of Medicus Pharma, explains.
90% of non-melanoma skin cancers are related to exposure to ultraviolet radiation from the sun.
Even with regular use of sunscreen, high UV rays can cause significant damage. That's why getting a professional skin check could save your life. And new treatments on the horizon are poised to revolutionize the way skin cancer is treated.
We are currently in phase 2 trials of a non-invasive skin cancer treatment called SkinJet. This small microneedle transdermal patch provides a relatively painless, cost-effective treatment for basal cell skin cancer. So far, in our interim analysis, more than 60% of patients achieved complete clinical clearance.
For more, visit medicuspharma.com.
Each day, more than 1,000 children across the world are diagnosed with cancer. And despite it being the leading cause of death by disease among children in the United States, many of today's standard treatments were approved more than 30 years ago. That's exactly why Northwestern Mutual has made it our mission to bring attention to this cause. We declare September 4th as Golden Moments Day, a day of national recognition across the United States to honor stories of resilience, community impact, and breakthroughs in research and treatments that will light the way to a brighter future. To reinforce our commitment, for each new financial plan delivered to prospective clients in September, the Northwestern Mutual Foundation will donate $100 to Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation, up to $2 million. That would fund 40,000 hours of research. But there is still work to be done. Help us make a lasting impact this September. I invite you to join us in our mission to find better treatments and cures for childhood cancer. Visit NorthwesternMutual.com to find an advisor near you.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs. at pva.org.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. Host Joe with you all here today, and we're joined for this segment by Owen Miller. He is Vice President of the American Suppressor Association. Owen Miller, happy to talk with you again. How are you today?
Great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yep, glad to have you. So we now have a former ATF Associate Assistant Director of Field Operations, Mariana Mitchum, joining Every Town for Gun Safety. Should we really be surprised? I mean, is this just one example, or is there a whole revolving door between the ATF and anti-gun groups?
Yeah, this certainly isn't the first time we've seen something like this. You know, if you remember back to the early Biden administration when they put up David Chipman, a former ATF agent, as a nominee to direct ATF, you know, he was working for the Giffords Group, another anti-gun organization. So I think this is just another glaring example of showing, you know, the Biden era ATF's true colors in terms of attacking a lawful industry and the constitutional rights of law-abiding Americans.
Yeah, there's a bit of an irony behind this too. It just popped in my head. It was either Every Town or Giffords. Now that you mentioned them, that was when I was doing research about the Minneapolis shooting and gun laws in various states. I think it was Every Town, if I had to pin it down to one of them, who had in their website, as if it was a positive, listing states where teachers weren't allowed to carry firearms in the classroom to prevent a school shooting. So, like, that's the kind of mentality that they have, and it's a member of the ATF now apparently joining such a group with that mentality that the schools are supposed to be gun-free zones, which is exactly why the Minneapolis shooter picked that school.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate reality that, you know, we see this time and time again, that unfortunately some ATF employees or former employees, they just support this radical disarmament fantasy that seems to be, you know, the fantasy of the billionaire elites like Michael Bloomberg to see everyone disarmed and victimized.
Mm-hmm. And the ATF has certainly been doing its share of the work trying to get the public disarmed, rewriting gun rules. They were trying under Biden before Trump got elected. I don't know if they're still trying to get this rule passed where, you know, any gun, like it really stretched the definition of what a trigger pull was so that just about any gun could be considered a machine gun and thus banned.
Yeah, this was one of Ms. Mitchum's, you know, signature pieces when she was working under the Senate-confirmed Director Dettelbach under the Biden administration, was to push this frame and receiver ruling that really stretched beyond Congress's intent of the Gun Control Act to essentially redefine what is a firearm down to, you know, base components, base materials that could be machined or manufactured into firearms. And that was never Congress's intent. So this was, again, another example of ATF, you know, pushing outside the bounds of Congress's authority and developing their own rules and making their own definitions that didn't match with the law.
Mm-hmm. So it's rather disturbing is the real term. Bothersome makes it sound like it's a mosquito. Disturbing is the right term to see this such strong connections between these anti-gun groups and the ATF, because the ATF, they're not supposed to be ideologically inclined. They're just supposed to be enforcing the laws that we have, such as they are, whether we like them or not. But then seeing them join up with these activist groups, seeing the, you know, members of the ATF go to these activist groups and whatever, it kind of implies, well, what are they actually doing when they bend the rules and twist the rules around? Are they doing that because that's what they believe? Are they doing that because they expect a job afterwards? You know, really, whatever trust we had in the ATF is reduced even further.
Yeah, I think it's frustrating, you know, for us in the industry. You know, I'm reminded that this is the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, not the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Anti-Firearms. you know, they are there to serve as the regulatory body for our industry, and we expect them to do it in a fair and unbiased manner, and that's just not always the case. And then, you know, it just further proves our point when we see, you know, former ATF officials who collected a government paycheck now collecting a paycheck from an anti-gun group like this.
Mm-hmm. And do they really even do anything with alcohol and tobacco either? Because I remember I was doing some research last year or something about the ATF, and I was trying to find when was the last time they did anything major with tobacco or alcohol. And, like, I had to go back to the Obama administration for something like that.
Yeah, you know, ATF was originally part of the Treasury Department, and that's what they were revenuers. And in the early 2000s, you know, they were moved into Department of Justice as more of an enforcement agency. And when that happened, a lot of the alcohol and tobacco components became part of what's known as the Tax and Trade Bureau, where they collect, you know, these vice taxes. And so ATF really is much, much more focused now on the last two letters of their agency name, the firearms and explosives, than they are on the alcohol and tobacco.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you see this move doing for groups like these anti-gun groups there? Oh, we got a member of the ATF. When it comes to, you know, maybe an independent person doesn't know much about guns, suddenly they see this group has a member of the ATF. I mean, do you think that that would be a red flag or not?
Yeah, I think so. By having somebody like this on their staff, they can point, you know, number one, they get kind of a behind the scenes view of what's happening at the agency. These things don't happen in a vacuum. She's still going to have contacts and colleagues that are still at the agency where she's, maybe going to have access to information. And also, you know, she, with that moniker of being a former ATF official, she gets to speak with some level of authority that I think is going to influence people's opinion. You know, those that, like you said, are less informed are going to view her statements as, you know, maybe carrying more weight than they should, because she's obviously got a political bias towards firearms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they wouldn't notice that perhaps they joined Everytown because they were already ideologically aligned, rather than joining because as whatever they saw as direct as they're in their role in ZETF made them think that way. It could they're not going to really pay attention to what the ideology behind it was or the reasoning. They're just going to assume, like you said, it's authoritative that they're speaking based on experience.
Right. Right. And people will assume that she somehow speaks on behalf of the agency still. And you know, I know that not to be the case.
Yeah, not the entire agency, but like you said, there are still contacts that she would have at the agency, too. So what does that mean mm-hmm. for access to going back into the agency there, the access that this person might bring to the outside groups? So regardless of who's president, there's still going to be people in there that can muck up the works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So it's just, you know, another example of the revolving door stuff we got to worry about in Washington with politics and stuff. But now the influence that these groups like Everytown and Gifford Center that bring in the ATF folks, is it confined to the left and a marginal amount of, independent voters, or just like how far reaching is this influence that they have?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, it's obviously confined to people who are going to be in agreement with their mission and their policies. But like I said, it seems to be this sort of radical disarmament faction that, you know, they won't be happy until all the guns are gone and, you know, constitutional rights be damned.
Mm-hmm. Well, about out of time for the segment. So real quick, where can we learn more about the American Suppressor Association?
Yeah, absolutely. You can learn about us online at AmericanSuppressorAssociation.com, and we'd love to have your listeners join up or support our cause and our efforts to fight against these kind of things.
All right. Well, Owen Miller, appreciate you being on the Silker Joe Show. Listeners, we got more programming coming up after the break.
Research shows a continued decline in childhood vaccines over the past several school years. That and the resurgence of measles across the U.S. has put public health officials and family physicians on high alert. Medical professionals say it's understandable to have questions about vaccines, and if you do, ask. Dr. Diana Howard with the American Academy of Family Physicians.
Timely vaccinations are essential to protect families, neighbors, and loved ones, especially as the school year begins. Your family physician is a trusted place to get the answers and support you need when it comes to vaccines. The American Academy of Family Physicians wants you to know, vaccines work. They are safe, effective, and save lives. Family physicians can help you make sure the whole family is up to date on their vaccinations and protected from preventable diseases, especially before school starts. And it's understandable to have questions. Your doctor wants you to be an advocate for yourself and your loved ones. So take those questions to your next appointment.
For more information, visit familydoctor.org.
It's the time of year when young adults are off to college or starting their first career. One important aspect of moving into adulthood is making the transition from pediatric to adult health care. Lucille Aceta from CVS Health shares more.
The right time to transition out of pediatric care can sneak up on parents. So have conversations early with your teenagers to help them prepare, especially if they live with a chronic illness. Start by teaching them how to refill a prescription and that their local pharmacist is a valuable resource. For more complex conditions, CVS specialty teams can help them as they move into adult care.
Madison Miller lives with a chronic illness and managed her move to adult care at 19.
Change can be uncomfortable at first, but now I realize how important learning to own my healthcare has been to my personal growth. With the help of CVS Specialty, prescription reminders, ordering through the app, and mail delivery have made managing my chronic condition easier.
For more helpful tips and information, visit cvshealth.com.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show. Everybody, co-host Joe with you all here this weekend. So going back to the first segment, just continue talking about that and people who should have red flag laws and all that, you know. It's not just the trans community I'm sympathetic toward. Muslim Americans have a right to own firearms as well, despite the terrorist attacks and all that sort of thing. And, you know, San Bernardino shooting and whatnot, all the radicals that the feds arrested under Obama. And actually, that is a good point to bring up. Because, as I've mentioned before, 2/3 of those people were radicalized by the Obama administration. So when you have stuff like this where you have to wonder, and also keep in mind the Minneapolis shooter, again, one of the parents was one of these deep state operatives who, you know, may have contributed to the radicalization to raise the figures for his friends. And now, you know, the parents are nowhere to be found and they've lawyered up. So it's a mystery. We'll get to speculate endlessly until there's an actual explanation. But, you know, it's not the first time we've seen stuff like that. And actually, we're finding out, too, that one of the January 6th folks, one of the Obama or Biden administration's star witnesses, I have the word Obama right in front of me. That's why I was stuttering through it. Although, you know, Obama is credited with running the Biden administration anyway. But one of the Biden administration's star witnesses against the January 6th folks just came out and has a sworn affidavit now saying, yeah, I only said what I said because I was told I'd get 25 years in prison if I didn't say that. And they told me to phony up some charges to get the rest of these people. Otherwise, I do 2.5 decades in prison. So, and that is something the government regularly does. They will, if they have no evidence on someone but they want it, they'll go to a complete stranger and just say, hey, say something bad about this person. Otherwise, we'll come up with some charges against you. Whatever we can come up with, you know, puts a pressure on you. So it is not outside the realm of possibility about this. And also, there's a question about pharmaceuticals, drugs involved. You know, was this person on any antidepressants? Because, you know, like I've said before, the trans community, there is a lot of comorbidities with being trans. Oftentimes, you know, it's led to speculation, is this just a radical form of autism, for example, or something like that? I mean, I've seen plenty of people who are autistic and trans as well. Like, actually, that pretty much codifies the only two kinds of trans people I've ever met in my life. I've met at least half a dozen. Doesn't sound like much. Well, I've seen plenty more online too, and in dating profiles. So I have seen plenty of them, and all of them seem to have autism, unless they're over a certain age, at which point it's just like a midlife crisis or something. So, but none of them just seem, most of them don't seem like they're just, you know, regular person who makes this decision. Seems like something makes this decision for them. So if we're going to peg just being trans as being the thing, why not add autism to this spectrum of disorders that make you ban firearms ownership too? But like, that's not what the right is supposed to be about, right? I mean, just, you know, if you red flag laws and all that are easily abused, mental health laws that are easily abused, you know, maybe not. I mean, yes, if there are definite issues in your history, but that's already on the background check forms. The problem we keep having is people aren't reporting this stuff. You know, we can add more red flags laws if you want to, but none of them work if they're not reported on. And what we've seen with the Minneapolis shooter and others is a lot of stuff wasn't reported on. I mean, the left was going into their ban all guns for everybody stuff after a mass shooting in Maine. And it turns out that that guy should have not been able to purchase a gun. And on top of that, the very suspicious circumstance about that new hearing aid the government gave him. And as soon as he gets this new hearing aid, he's hearing voices telling him to kill people or whatever. So as soon as he gets the hearing aid from the government, from the Biden administration, you know, the same batch of Democrats that radicalized 2/3 of the Muslims arrested under Obama for being terrorists, domestic ones, that same group of people give this guy a hearing aid, and he claims to be hearing voices that tell him to do things, and then he does a mass shooting. How can you get more suspicious circumstance than this, right? And it seems rather convenient that a lot of stuff is being left out of these. A lot of red flag laws are being overlooked. A lot of red flags are being overlooked. A lot of mental health issues are being overlooked, unreported, etc., that should be reported. So this seems like more of an abuse of current laws. And again, there's ideology involved too. These people aren't radical in a vacuum. They'll know what they'd be in a vacuum because normally they're left-wing kooks. And it seems more like we should be banning radical leftism than anything else. Because as I mentioned in the opening statement, you have that mass shooter in 2017. He wasn't trans. The people who shot Republicans in 2020 during the riots, they weren't. There was what was it, this guy who was watching CNN a whole bunch and then shot up a bunch of people in Colorado? I don't think that guy was trans. Then there was, or that could have been the Colorado one, but then there was also the Democrat who hopped into his truck and ran over an 18-year-old conservative and got only 5 years in jail for killing a conservative. that guy wasn't trans. He was just a normal person. And then there was that instance in Texas where there was a left-wing activist who was pointing a gun at a conservative, so the conservative shot the activist in self-defense. The activist who was pointing the gun wasn't trans there either. So what the commonality is, though, is they were radical leftists. And, you know, also a lot of this stuff is performative as well. You got to keep that in mind, too. You know, many of them won't seek hormones or therapies or anything like that. They'll just say it for clout. Non-binary, for example, that's often lumped with trans. Often that's just used for clout, not actually used for actually a feeling of anything. So it's the attorney. We don't really want the Department of Justice get involved in something that they clearly, it's so in the weeds there, right? And just making up a general rule, because if they have to make up a general rule to handle all of these different things, what do you think's going to happen with that general rule? We were just talking in the last segment about how the ATF goes into business for itself, redefining certain rules, changing certain definitions. You want another rule on the record for Democrats to play around with next time they're in office? There will be a next time, by the way. The polls look bad for the Democrats right now, but that could change. The radicalism won't change. They'll just become better at hiding it, as they have been in years past. And the only problem with the Democrat Party, and actually that is sort of what has led to this trans movement being the way it is. A lot of this radicalism, they're just being told, don't hide it, don't try to interact with people normally, it's all about you, what you can get for yourself right now. Blacks in the past understood that, there needs to be time for society to change. You can get your rights in the law legally codified, but attitudes won't change. Well, that's not what's being preached to people now, whether they're black or trans or whatever. And so that is one of the major issues there. This lack of patience is being preached to everybody. No one wants to just sit down and wait. They want everything, and they want it right now. And they're being told that the world is entitled to give it to you right now, whether it's your welfare check or your hormones. And that, again, that means, what, are we going to ban guns for every Democrat? Now, if you look at the ideology of these mass shooters, what drives them to their mass shootings, that might actually be a good thing. It's not, you know, the common thread, maybe there's mental illness involved, but the common thread is, what are they seizing upon to do this sort of thing? You know, they're not following the teachings of Jesus and peacefully going about their business. They're following the teachings of the Democrat Party and getting violent. Who are the ones out there saying, you gotta fight, they're trying to kill you, there's a genocide? It ain't the Republicans. So which side then, and which side is it that believed in 2020 in those riots and said that the riots were acceptable and encouraged? You don't think that was an act of radicalism on their part as well that should lead to guns being banned for the people who participated in the riots? I would say so. In fact, legally, that is the case. None of them should be able to own a firearm given the crimes that they participated in, the violent nature of them. But we don't see any kind of justice for that now, do we? Of course not, because they were Democrats. And again, that's where we're getting to with this. The ideology involved here, they're just grabbing groups of people and radicalize them, people who may have actual mental problems, may not have actual mental problems, but you're just picking on a particular community when there's a lot more communities involved here than just the one who are going radical. And they're going to seize on this, of course, to either persecute conservatives in the future or in the present. So it's a big mess that more laws are just going to contribute to and make worse, not make better. What we really need to do is stamp out this Democrat ideology as best as we can. And unfortunately, as I've said months ago on this show, the weaker their position gets, the more radicalized their members are going to be, and the more stuff like this that we're going to see. I mean, it wasn't just a bunch of trans people rioting in Los Angeles. It isn't just trans people torching Tesla dealers. It isn't just trans people throwing firebombs and shooting at ICE facilities. The Democrat Party is quite involved in this. Race, ethnicity, gender, LGBT spectrum notwithstanding. So, and it's just going to get worse as time progresses, as their influence loses. You know, for those of you hoping that they get smacked down in the midterms next year, and for me hoping that they get smacked down in the governor's race in Virginia this year, if they do, there's going to be violence after it, again, because they are out of power. And what do they do when they're out of power? They don't do like conservatives and just wait around for the next election. They take matters into their own hands. They arm up. And we actually saw, right after the election, we saw regular, straight, non-trans, whatever, Democrats saying you need to arm up, you need to buy up the guns because concentration camps, immigration raids, genocides, all of that's going to happen. You got to arm yourself to protect yourself from the Trump administration. We even saw, there were reports on that, we've talked about on this show and the Alan Nathan Show, reports of liberals buying up guns to shoot conservatives because they thought that's what's going to happen. Again, regardless of race, gender, sexuality, or whatever. So it's radical leftism that we're dealing with here, which is going to get even more radical as they lose more and more power. More Silver Tush after this break.
Burgers and hot dogs may headline the grill, but baked beans are making a strong showing at summer cookouts. Chef James Brissione has more.
Baked beans are incredibly versatile. I use them in hamburger bakes, layer them into hot dogs with cheese, and even stuff them into grilled chili rellenos. They bring big flavor with little effort.
Chef's Chili Relleno recipe starts with poblano peppers stuffed with Bush's vegetarian baked beans, onions, jalapenos, and red bell pepper. For something heartier, hamburger baked beans combine seasoned ground beef with Bush's original baked beans.
That Chili Relleno dish is one of my favorites. It's easy to prep, great for vegetarian or gluten-free guests, and the beans add that smoky, savory bite that works with anything else on the plate.
Another go-to for feeding a crowd is baked bean and cheese hot dogs, made with Bush's brown sugar hickory baked beans, onions, and cheddar. Bush's baked beans varieties include original, brown sugar hickory, vegetarian, zero sugar added, and more. Visit bushbeans.com.
Respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, is known for affecting infants and young children. But the reality is that adults between 50 and 74 years of age with certain risk factors, or 75 or older, are at increased risk for severe infection. Dr. Candace Robinson from GSK has more.
Because the immune system weakens with age, the risk of severe RSV increases for older adults. If you have certain chronic conditions such as heart disease, COPD, complicated diabetes, or asthma, you're at an increased risk of becoming severely ill from RSV. And RSV can also cause exacerbations of certain medical conditions.
Approximately 177,000 adults 65 and older are hospitalized due to RSV annually.
The CDC recommends a single RSV vaccine dose for adults between 50 and 74 years of age with certain risk factors, or 75 or older to help protect against RSV.
For more information on RSV, talk to your local pharmacist and visit easyvax.com for more information about how to find vaccines available near you.
Some seizures may go unnoticed, but the stories of people with epilepsy will not. Share your story to educate others.
To empower others to seek treatment.
To show others they are not alone.
To help others change their journey.
Let's get everyone to start talking about epilepsy and seizures.
I am ready to share my story.
I'm ready to share my story.
Let's change our epilepsy story.
Let's change our epilepsy story.
For more information, visit changeourstory.org.
There's nothing worse than losing cell service while exploring the great outdoors, but that's changing fast. T-Mobile is bringing coverage to the most remote parts of the country with T-Satellite with Starlink, reaching over 500,000 square miles where towers can't, thanks to over 650 satellites already in orbit. Over a million messages have already been sent in hard-to-reach areas from national parks to remote trails. Kinga Phillips, travel expert.
As someone who's constantly off the beaten path, this changes everything. Now I can stay connected, even deep in the mountains or deserts.
For more information, visit T-Mobile.com, sponsored by T-Mobile.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about one in four car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives. To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
So for Joe Sherbay, co-host Joe with y'all here this weekend, I'm going to have a radical departure from the rest of the program for this segment of the show. We're waiting for our current guest, though. Why am I saying current guest? He's not here yet. We are waiting for our guest at the moment. However, I'll get the topic started up. So kind of a scam alert, I guess. We don't usually do this, but thought interesting because, boy, I feel stupid not spotting it earlier. If you are on the internet a lot and watch YouTube, you'll see advertisements for these it's supposed to be AI puppies or AI koalas now and AI pandas, but like in the advertisements they look like super realistic, like they're almost the real thing crawling on your shoulder or responding to your attention or whatever. Actually, those are total scams. There's this one YouTuber who, for the benefit of the audience, he goes and orders them and they are just absolute— There's nothing to them. One of them is a toy that's been available for like 60 years, just in its latest repackaging. And the others, the koalas and one of the dogs and also the pandas, are just empty. There's nothing in them at all. But that doesn't mean there isn't a future for this sort of technology where it could get rather serious and actual legitimate and affordable for people to own, which it definitely is not at this point, not to the degree they're showing in those commercials for the price given. You know, add a zero and maybe it would be legitimate. But there is a future where it might be affordable. And joining us now to talk about this future is Mark Beckman. He is CEO of the award-winning advertisement agency DMA United. He has executed campaigns for the NBA, Pepsi, Sony, Warner Brothers Entertainment, NARS, Washington, D.C., Nelson Mandela, Gucci, and MOMA. He is author of Some Future Day, How AI is Going to Change Everything, and The Comprehensive Guide to NFTs, Digital Artwork, and Blockchain Technology. Mark Beckman, happy to talk with you. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. That was a big introduction. I appreciate the kind words.
Yeah, always happy to give our guests the accolades and laurels that are due, which isn't the case for the AI pets that we've seen online just yet. They deserve the accolade of scam, but there is a future possibility that they will be just as legitimate as we see and, you know, may even have AI chatbots installed in them. What's your take on this?
Well, I'll tell you something interesting. The first time I saw one of these plush toys with artificial intelligence built into it was 3 years ago at an artificial intelligence conference that I was hosting in New York City. And the inventor actually created it, the item, the plush toy, as a tool for therapy for children. And I thought it was really interesting. What it did was, under the supervision and guidance of both parents and a therapist, it allowed for children to interact, speak with the toy, and for the toy to essentially take on recordings of the children's voice interaction and learn from it. And then, in turn, it allowed for the family and the therapist to apply those learnings to improve that person's health. What we're talking about, though, is really, I think, heading in a dramatically different perspective, a different way. So sure, the plush toys could be fun, and you know, I think we'll definitely see AI built into a plush toy imminently, and people will enjoy it, and it will be fun, it will be cute. But I also think that it could become dangerous, because as the artificial intelligence becomes personalized to its owner, right, the plush toy has an owner, it will learn a lot. And remember, LLMs are just a machine. It's predictive, generative AI, trying to figure out what it needs to learn. And what we're finding this week and last week is that there are some challenges that are popping up with people that suffer from mental illness. We've seen now suicide blamed on ChatGPT. We've seen eating disorders blamed on ChatGPT. And I think the claims are fairly legitimate. So if this plush toy that looks cute and furry and fun to play with, starts to personalize with an individual that might have some kind of a mental illness or need more support, and it's not with supervision from parents and from therapists, we could be running into a dangerous situation, particularly with our minors or teenage children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and more parents need to know about the risks involved before they, you know, go out and purchase these things, not just the scam ones I mentioned, but as you were talking about, the ones that legitimately work and the issues involved with that. Now, is that the First Lady, Melania Trump? They're talking about her leading an AI education task force. Now, would that be for educating the public on these particular risks?
Yeah, I think the First Lady is the perfect person to be leading this AI task force in the White House. The West Wing selected her, and the reason I think she's perfect is because, frankly, she's the only person in the administration who's built a product using AI herself. She launched a few months ago, I think back in October, an artificial intelligence, earlier than October, this past spring, an artificial intelligence audiobook, and her voice is uncanny. It's all synthetic, but it's perfect. And this event that she's hosting at the White House this afternoon, it will have several cabinet members, plus big-time leaders, CEOs of corporations like Google and IBM, Oracle, and beyond. And what they're looking at is our education, our children, K through 12, and how they can effectively use these new tools in a productive manner to unlock American ingenuity and growth and keep America ahead of the curve as it relates to global dominance in AI. I think it's also going to be interesting to see what people like, for example, the Secretary of Education, Linda McMahon, she'll be there in the roundtable discussion. It should be interesting to see what risks she might identify for our students K through 12 as it relates to this new technology, too. So you have the benefits of the technology, but of course there are risks built into it, too.
Yeah, we've already seen the use of AI in education with tests and papers and stuff being fabricated through AI, and college professors, teachers having to be on the lookout for AI-generated submissions.
That's right. And it's interesting to note, although AI is going to give all of us access to more knowledge than ever before in history, it doesn't mean that we're going to use the knowledge the right way, as you pointed out. So for those individuals who are genuinely curious and want to do the work, they could leverage and enhance their knowledge base about anything from science to mathematics to English and grammar and beyond. That's wonderful. We can have a much smarter population if people really embrace the technology. However, I think we're also going to be looking at a situation where there's going to be the knowledge have-nots for those people that want to just use the technology for a shortcut and let it do its report without learning.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got about 30 seconds left here. Where can our listeners get a copy of your book, Some Future Day, How AI is Going to Change Everything?
So the book is great for beginners in AI. It's available at Amazon. Mark Beckman, Some Future Day, How AI is Going to Change Everything. Amazon has it.
All right. Well, Mark Beckman, appreciate you being on the Silk or Joe Show today. And listeners, appreciate you tuning in for the program. We are done with you for this hour. And our website is MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.